talking property for Gemmell Homes. Craig stands behind every home he builds.
And thank you very much to Philip Amar for the news, and thanks to Rod and Sue, of course, for the weekend wake-up thus far. We're now rolling along with this part of weekend wake-up, talking property with Rob Druitt. First of all, how are you, mate?
Very good. Looking forward to talking property, hopefully all weekend.
All weekend.
Hopefully there'll be a few people out and about, the home opens. It's been a little quiet out there. Maybe people are thinking about Christmas, going shopping early. It's only a 4-week run-up now, so... If you're going to be buying property before Christmas and New Year, now's the time to be out and about.
I suppose so. Maybe they're not there because they've got legal problems.
Yes.
Now, well, we can fix them for you this morning.
And they can call in and sure get advice.
Paul Donovan from MDS Legal is in the studio with us, as he is quite often. And we love having you, mate. How are you?
G'day, Harvey. Great to be here. Hello, Rob.
Is it too early to wish you compliments of the season? Probably not.
I've started doing it, yes. I think it's
within the
approaching
month,
us.
Is okay. But what a beautiful day outside. Good day for to be buying property, Rob.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there we go. Actually, do you know, Paul, it's always a good day to buy property?
Good point.
This is the best double act I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Never a good day to be seeing lawyers, though. I think that's what...
mate, you do a great job, of course, and...
You're a necessity.
Absolutely.
At times, very much so.
Yeah, and Paul's here to answer all your questions. If you do have any legal ramifications involving the sale or purchase of your property, he's the man to sort them out in general terms, obviously, today for you. 922 11882. Send an email to harvey@6pr.com.au, and if you'd like to send a text, 19999 677. Speaking of texting, by the way, we've got $100 thanks to Craig Gemmell to give away.
Excellent.
Today.
Yep. Excellent. Need to call in.
And speaking of texting, I think Mary of Warnbra wants to talk about it. G'day, Mary.
Hello.
Morning, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Excuse me, I've got a really bad cough. I'd like to thank you first for the $100 win that I was fortunate enough to win a few weeks ago.
Ah, very good, Mary. What was your question a few weeks ago?
I
can't remember. Anyway, I'm sure we gave you a good answer. What's your one today?
Well, to use Peter Munday's term, he said that was a great question and a much better answer. That's the best line I've ever heard on this show, I think.
I think so, yes. He comes out with some beauties.
Sorry, Mary, you were saying.
One of my family members is selling a house, right?
Right.
Selling it through by my house. So it is quite well advertised. Anyhow, a couple of weeks ago, she received a text and asking weird questions.
Right.
She sent a text back. Yes, we do have to sell it before we move. A text came back asking more personal questions, and she indiscreetly replied to those, and then more texts came through, and my daughter better that you talk to us on the phone. You have our phone number. Talk to us on the phone, then we can discuss it in full. And she never heard another word back. But one of the questions he asked was...
Not surprised to hear that.
The settlement won't be for 3 years.
Oh, okay. Well, that's not a very good deal. A lot of things can happen in 3 years.
Yeah, we can rent it out for you and pay the accounts and keep up the maintenance, but settlement won't be for 3 years. And I said to my daughter, just...
Don't even entertain it. Now, is Buy My... Who is she selling through? Buy My Home.
Buy My House.
Buy My House. It would be a private selling arrangement where they provide a limited degree of service, and you do most of the work yourself. Is that how it works?
That's right.
Yeah, hence the reason that the buyers are contacting her directly. I guess I'd say as a REWA agent, we would take those calls, qualify the people, and obviously you wouldn't have that situation. But I guess it's easier in that in that case where it's a private seller and the buyer is making direct contact, and of course you just don't know, you know, how far down the barrel you're going, what sort of people you're getting making contact to you. In this case, it sounds like a bit of a strange one, and probably certainly not a, a genuine inquiry on the property.
Do you know why they've gone through these people in the first place?
Well, I guess because otherwise it would cost them $13,000 as against, I think, $3,000.
And I suppose, and look, that's the thing to weigh up. You say it's probably not quite as simple as that because at the end of the day, the property sells, the negotiation skills of a real agent, well, I'm certain will ensure that you receive a better price and a better deal on the property. You don't have to put up with these sort of situations. And, of course, a real agent has to earn their fee. And they earn their fee as a success fee. It's only success fee upon satisfactory sale and settlement. So generally there's not money to pay up front other than maybe some marketing charges. And it's a success fee so that the seller still is in control. They don't have to accept any offer and they know what their net price is at the end of the day. But that doesn't preclude people from selling properties themselves. But this is a good example of what might happen if you do go down that path.
Yes, well, being older and a couple of years older and wiser and listening to your intelligent program, I know all the
answers. No wonder you're one of our winners.
You should become a real estate agent, Mary.
You sound like Peter Monday.
But Mary, look, can I add to that, that of course, because someone wants to negotiate with you doesn't mean you have to negotiate with them. Mm. And if they're coming up with ridiculous suggestions of settlement within 2 years' time, you just say, I'm not prepared to negotiate with you, full stop.
Not interested.
Thank you.
Don't go away unhappy, just go away.
Thank you for...
Good on you. Thanks, Mary. Good start to our calls today. We got quite a few on the board early, yeah, which is very good. Trevor of Hilton. G'day, Trev.
Morning, gents.
Hey, Trevor.
G'day, Trevor.
My son is coming down from Port Hedland.
Right.
He's got $50,000 deposit.
Good deposit, yeah.
He was seriously thinking about coming down here and buying down here, renting. But he's noticed the properties up in Port Hedland have dropped a hell of a lot.
My word, have they what? 40% fall in property values is a significant correction.
Yeah, there was a property up there that him and his wife were looking at that was $800,000 over a year ago. And now it's $350,000.
Yeah, there's lots of war stories about the market up there. Well, you just got to look at well, all those listeners out there that have BHP shares are going boom, just like the property market in Port Hedland, come down significantly. And the question is, well, is it the bottom of the market? You know, I think BHP shares will recover down the track, but of course it's all tied to iron ore, price of iron ore, and the world market. It has been smashed, the market up there, quite frankly, and you do sort to sit back and think, well, yeah, perhaps if you can get a good rental, if you can secure a good rental and you can buy in at that value, perhaps it is a good investment.
He can get a good rental,
yep,
for it, because he lives up there and works up there.
Yep.
So he's just in a bit of a quandary whether he should buy down here or up there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I guess that's your view. You've got to think about your view as to where the market's likely to go in Port Hedland. Are we at the bottom of the cycle there, given the massive correction that it's had? If you've got a positive attitude about the fact that it will rebound, I don't doubt it will. I don't think it'll go back to the heady heights of 10, 11, 12 when prices were over double what they were now. But I think it will inch back up, and the key really is having secure rental. You don't want to be buying into that market, not being able to rent the property, and basing the investment is based upon the rental. And the rental prices have come back, you know, they've halved basically, in some cases even more so, and of course that's halved the values as well. So look, it's probably a riskier play to buy in the Port Hedland market. Maybe there's still another 12 months of pain. Perhaps it's the bottom of the market. Who knows? We'll only see in time. It'll be a safer bet to buy in Perth, you'd say. Certainly our prices have corrected. We've seen 5-10% falls. You've got a broader market here and a broader base both for rentals and also for owner-occupiers. I guess you weigh all those things up and see. For his first investment, maybe he should stick to something with less risk and buy in Perth.
And can I just ask one quick one?
Certainly.
Would he go interest-only or principal?
Look, at the end of the day... My view is always to do principal and interest, because I think you've got to start paying some of the debt off and you start doing it from day one. And that, particularly as a first home buyer, an investor, your goal should be to knock that loan down as quickly as possible. We're at historically low interest rates. They can really only go one way, and that's up, in which they have been on investment rates. So I would be encouraging principal and interest, and you know that you're able to start knocking that loan down from day one.
There would be a consideration, though, wouldn't there? If it's negative geared, you'd have to maybe think differently.
Yeah, well, there is the advantage, obviously. The higher the debt, the more negative gearing. But, you know, at the end of the day, negative gearing is just a loss, which is offset against your personal income. But you need a capital gain to offset that ultimately. Otherwise, you're just spending a dollar to save 47.5 cents,
and it's still a loss. But I suppose if you've got debt that's not attracting tax benefits, then you might want to give your priority to that. But that sounds like
exactly
the sort of
thing right. If you've got personal debt, you're a second, third home buyer, then you want to pay the minimum amount off the investment loan, the maximum off your personal debt. But being a first home buyer, I would say principal and interest for sure.
Yep,
and probably the bank would require that as well, I would have thought.
All right, are you happy with that, Trev?
Yeah, very good. Thank you very much.
Good on you, mate. Hope it's got. Man. I'm sure it has. Thank you, matey. To Queen's Park. Hello, Diane.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just wanted some advice. I've been in a private rental with a private landlord for quite a while.
Right.
And I've just been offered Homes West accommodation.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, very lucky. I've been on the waiting list for years. And I need to take the place at Homes West straight away, but I'm under a lease until July next year.
Ooh, it's a way off.
Yikes.
Mm. Yeah, and there'll be an overlap of rent, so I'll have to pay double rent. Can you just give me some advice? I haven't contacted the landlord yet.
Look, there will be costs involved. The bottom line, isn't it, Paul, that you have to put the landlord in the same position as if you didn't break the lease, so you are responsible for all the costs.
Yeah, if you've got a fixed-term lease, you're locked into that time period, Diane. But do you get on well with the landlord?
Very well.
Yeah, well, look, I'd go to the landlord and talk to them and just say, look, you know, I'm happy to help out, sort of advertising costs, that sort of thing, to try to get another tenant.
They might allow you to break the lease at minimal cost, or
And if they can find another tenant in a couple of weeks' time, well, there's no loss to the landlord, and you might be able to arrange something. But if you can't, well, they can't find another tenant, then you are caught in that sort of limbo land where you've got to await that fixed term lease to come to an end.
I mean, technically, the landlord can't prevent you from breaking the lease, but you have to pay the costs, and that's where the risk is, isn't it, Paul?
Correct. Yeah. So if you just sort of pack your bags and walk out and shut the door, you're then at risk, because if the landlord's not able to find an alternate tenant, that the landlord might come to you and say, well, look, I've suffered damages and you have to pay me because I haven't been able to rent it for the last four months. But the only other thing I'd add is that the landlord has to act reasonably to lessen and lower or mitigate his loss as much as he or she as the landlord can. So you're not sort of left so that it's just a blank check. But on the other hand, it's good to try to work these things out before you walk out and therefore say, you know, what position you're actually in financially.
Okay. Thank you so much.
No, you're more than welcome, Diane. Thank you for your call. So that's how easy it is. Just get on the blower and call 9221882, and Gemma will put you through. You'll be speaking to either Rob Druitt, or in the studio today with us from MDS Legal is Paul Donovan, and he'll answer all your questions as well. 9221882, and at the end of the day, we'll give $100 away thanks to Craig Gemmell of Gemmell Homes.